T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's all on the line for college football stars.
A 92-yard touchdown pass, Michael Penix.
Bo's going left, Bo's going scoring. Bo does what Bo does. Bo Nix.
This is a Draft Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Celebrating 35 years of fitness with a party on Tuesday, April 30th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Aloha, Beaverton, Division Center, and Vancouver Plaza.
Draft Week with Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the YouTube stream, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan, or twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. Hello. How are you? We talked about the Denver Nuggets and Lakers. Just haymakers thrown at the end of that game.
Fantastic game.
And that finish overshadowed what was an incredible finish in its own right between the 76ers and the New York Knicks. 104-101, the Knicks take a 2-0 series lead, and they defend their home court when it just felt like it was the Knicks or the 76ers game to lose.
2-point game. Ball knocked loose. And Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Out top to DiVincenzo. His shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a 1-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
What a game. That's Mike Breen on MSG. Do you know that's only his sixth double bang of all time? Where he goes bang, bang.
Wow.
Somebody's counting that on Twitter.
I mean, that tracks. Also, not surprised that he did it in New York.
Yeah, it's on MSG Network. Yeah. Like, it's for the home team. Got to support the hometown team. That game was bonkers from start to finish because, again, very similar to the Lakers, right? With you get Embiid going for 34 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Tyrese Maxey goes for 35, 9, and 10. You had
flu game.
Nick Batum, again, coming off the bench, didn't fill it up, but came up with timely shots and timely possessions where hit a go-ahead three late in the game for them. It was one of those games where you're like, Philly, like you have to play your best game on the road to win. It felt like they gave them the shot that New York was going to fall down to, but the Knicks and Isaiah Hartenstein end up coming up huge in the final moments of that game, and they take a 2-0 series lead.
And a solid shanking. Look, again,
solid shanking.
No dog in the fight. Maxey got fouled. He got absolutely mugged by Jalen Brunson in the inbound, and then he got knocked over. You even heard Breen say it. Maxey gets knocked down. It's like, yeah.
I mean, there's like the still shots of it where you can see his jersey being pulled.
Oh, he's bear hugged by Brunson.
And like his jersey's being pulled. Like you could see the set, like in football, you're like, up, see the jersey. That's a hold.
Yeah.
That's a foul.
And that's what causes the delay and the kind of the bobble on the inbounds. It starts the whole thing.
But this wasn't just boiled down to those fouls, plural, or the fact that Hartenstein gets the rebound and kicks it out to DiVincenzo.
You get the Brunson bounce going in.
But it was quite literally, this was with 47 seconds to go in the game. And the Knicks had a 101-96 lead.
You'd love to, but the goal is not having home court advantage to getting home court advantage by winning one of the two games on the road. Job done. Let's head down to the turnpike.
Lowry splits him. Stay tuned. Post-game live is going to be fun. Brunson pushing off. No whistle.
Hold on, everybody.
That's the 76ers broadcast.
Wow.
That was with 47 seconds to go, leading 101-96.
It's a five-point game.
They said, we're going down the turnpike. It's going to be a fun post-game.
What? It's a five-point game, not a 15-point game.
That's kind of the thing, though, is that Philly let their foot off the gas, and they opened the door for New York to win. And we criticize Doc Rivers for these inexplicable losses, right? But back-to-back games, Nick Nurse has had head-scratching moments. Like refusing to foul.
Yeah, and then
down
not,
five.
Not calling a timeout when Lowry failed to get the ball in quickly. Just call a timeout. And again, it's a Monday morning quarterbacking for sure. But I think you look at this, it took, the end result is that the Knicks are up 2-0, but it took everything. And I mean everything. Brunson getting the bounce on the shot, then not calling the timeout, then not getting called for the foul, then getting the offensive rebound, and then getting the reset lookout. Like, it took everything. But, so if you're the 76ers, I don't, as much as it hurts, home team holding serve at home isn't unusual.
But when you think of this, though, can we go back to Nick Nurse not calling that timeout? Because it was off a made bucket.
For sure. Absolutely.
Kyle Lowry, I agreed with the call of, hey, their plan, Philly's plan was, we want to just get the ball in because we're expecting a press.
Yeah. And get to Maxey, he's a great free throw shooter.
Once Lowry has to run the baseline, that is like your basic fundamentals. If you have a timeout, call that timeout there, advance the ball to half court, and you get to reset at that point. Right? Instead, Nurse allows Lowry to inbound the ball and into traffic where there's two guys waiting there. One of them, Josh Hart. Josh Hart having a hell of a series so far. But you allow two really good defenders to trap Tyrese Maxey, and he gets mugged and you get no call on it. And at that point, I heard Nick Nurse after the game saying, I was trying to call a timeout. I was looking at the official, and he just looked right at me and kept on running by.
Not the first time I've seen. Look, there's with the Trailblazers this year, when the Trailblazers did get screwed over by the Oklahoma City, in the Oklahoma City game, by the officials, that was both Malcolm Brogdon and Chauncey Billups unquestionably calling for a timeout.
And Nurse was calling it maybe a little late, Lowry was on the floor. But like, he jumped at him, and he was
hesitantly.
Timeout, timeout, timeout.
Yeah. Regardless, they didn't get it. But you seem like you're more on the side of Joel Embiid after the game.
We should be 2-0, so, you know, we good. We gonna win this series. We gonna win this. We know what we gotta fix. We did a better job today, so we gonna fix it. But we're the better team, and we gonna keep fighting.
Boy, laying him on the table right there, Joel Embiid. We're gonna win this series, and they do. They look for
large
stretches.
We want the ball when we're gonna win.
Yeah, they look for large stretches like they are the better team. But in crunch time, they have been a basket of cats.
And coming down to crunch time, basically the two 76ers possessions around, you know, where Maxey got mugged and whatnot. His first drive to the hoop, just out of control. He was never going to make that bucket. But the nit that I really want to pick with Maxey was on that last shot of the game where he passes it to Embiid with a second left.
Yeah.
That's, what are you doing?
Forcing him to take a 30-footer.
Yeah.
It was because he was forced to get the ball out.
And I don't think Embiid even got it off on time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they did get the opportunity with Maxey in the possession before that, getting downhill. And Hartenstein just made a hell of a chase down block.
Hartenstein, none!
The dogs for the Knicks showed up, man. Hartenstein, Hart, they were huge because Brunson, to be totally fair, Brunson was cheeks. Mm-hmm. He was unquestionably bad.
You know, the in Brun, yeah, Brunson, that was the shot that
he was 8 of 29.
Philly needed too. I mean, 8 of 24 points on 29 shots. That's your Delano Banton special in the postseason by Jalen Brunson. But he came up with buckets when they needed him, and it was timely. And look, Tibbs is doing a great job with the Knicks. I remember when Hartenstein was here for Nike Hoop Summit, they were talking about him like, this kid's going to be a project, but somebody's, if the right coach gets his claws into him, he's going to be.
And for the last couple of years, he has been.
Coach got his hooks into him. He is athletic and he is long.
He showed stuff in Houston. He showed stuff in Denver and he's showing it here in New York. Like he's just, but the 6'4" guard, Josh Hart, coming up with 15 rebounds, including four offensive.
Oof.
Continues to do it. 4-7-3.
That was brutal, though. It was a brutal finish for that game.
It was, but it was great basketball, both games.
It truly was.
Also, Jalen Brunson, these first two games.
Yeah.
16 of 55 from the field.
Yeah, he's been
2 of 12 from 3.
Yeah, he's been awful. That also shows that...
Put him on Team USA.
The 76ers just need one more person to step up, whether it's Oubre, it's Tobias Harris.
Where's Kelly Oubre been?
Playing defense, mostly. On Brunson.
Kyle Lowry's pulling a very Kyle Lowry-esque playoff performance. Mm-hmm. This is like Toronto Kyle Lowry.
Just doing his thing.
Yeah. And not really being that great come playoff time.
He was a team high plus six.
Plus six! There you go!
Winning plays.
And played the second fewest minutes of any starter. Batum, I love Nick Batum, though. And I hope Ryan Rupert becomes Nick Batum.
Mm-hmm.
Batum.0.
Yeah, Batum.0.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think that's what Tumani Kamara, Ryan Rupert needs to be.
Yes.
I love, I miss Nick.
Mm.
He was so fun to have here.
Yes. Great dude, wonderful basketball player.
Yeah.
Great connector.
Dang, man. Dang.
Hey, home teams undefeated in the playoffs so far.
Still.
Will tonight be the night?
My gosh.
We'll take
when's the first time that has happened?
This far in, I'd have to do the research. But it's been a while, because it's 2013 since all home teams went undefeated on the first night alone.
Whoa,
so I'm sure you got to go back further for night two, night three.
Whoa. So they're 11-0. Home teams are 11-0 right now?
Yeah.
Well, tonight we got Suns, T-Wolves, Pacers, Bucks, and Mavs, Clippers.
Yeah. And we'll talk about those.
I think we may have some.
Which of those teams might be... most prone for that tonight.
All right. Hey, you've got, we've all have these stories. We all have the moments that they stick with you forever. Some more so than others. Dan Lanning shared the butt chewing that has stood the test of time. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A Ferrari, a Jaguar, switching four lanes with the top down, screaming out money ain't a thing.
Bubble hard in a double law, flash the rims with the window crack, holla back, money ain't a thing.
This is Draft Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness.
On 1080 The Fan.
When you hit the bricks, new whips, money ain't a thing.
Come on. Yeah, I want to floss with us. Come on. All across the board.
Sometimes when you get chewed out,
drop a little pickle, baby, toss it up.
Some stick longer than others with you. Do you have those moments with you? Well, I'm sure in your time in the military you have a lot of them.
I had what was then referred to wall-to-wall counseling.
Oh, hey, how about that?
Door gets closed and you get thrown wall-to-wall.
I don't think that's an asterisk that's assault, brother.
Yeah, that's not an ass chewing. That's an ass whooping.
Yeah, well,
that's different.
They came together.
That is different.
But yeah, no, I mean,
don't think that
you can't do that anymore. But yeah, no, I mean, I actually got a letter of reprimand for a hickey once.
That's not an ass chewing either.
No, no, no. Oh, wanna bet? When you get marched down into the first sergeant's office and you get your ass chewed in front of all of your class,
yeah,
and your instructor,
okay,
about your failure to adhere to uniform standards and how disgraceful it was to wear the uniform with that bruise on your neck.
They're not wrong. The hickey is the trashiest thing that could possibly happen.
Well, I may...
Like, it's a very trashy thing to have.
Well, here's the thing. I may have been underage and I may have been intoxicated when I received said hickey, and this was their way of being able to punish me was public humiliation.
All right.
And ass chewing.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah, no, that's, I received plenty of them.
Well,
a lot of these I can't say on air, but that one's fair.
Dan Lanning went on Bussin' with the Boys. They did the tour of Eugene, the Barstool Sports, Will Compton and Taylor Lewan.
It's a short trip.
And apparently they have announced they are coming back for a game this year. In the fall. They love their time in Eugene. And they did the interviews with players, and they sat down with Dan Lanning and Will Compton, wearing New Balances in the house of Nike, no less.
Oof.
Yeah. He had this exchange with one Dan Lanning.
Your biggest ass-chewing story that you took, personally, that just had you beaten down.
I had a lot of them. Kirby Smart's, you know, a grade-A professional given those. Todd Graham is the best. Todd Graham probably prepared me for a lot of future ass-chewings, right? So early as a coach, I was running the scout team. You know, as a GA, this time you only had one GA on offense, one GA on defense. So I was kind of coaching all 11 on offense. After practice one day, Coach Graham goes, man, I'm sorry. I apologize. We have the worst scout team in the nation, and it's not your fault. It's my fault because I hired the guy. He runs the scout. He points to me right after. He runs the scout team, and he is the worst. And I couldn't have been smaller in that moment. I'd just been coaching high school ball the year before, and the scout team got better, but it was a good humbling moment for me.
I can 100% picture Todd Graham doing that.
Just apologizing to the entire guys. I'm really sorry.
I'm like, the dumbass that hired this guy, and then just.
Yes, that guy right over there.
Yeah.
not him. That guy right there.
The guy who stalked me and drove without a meeting or any sort of knowing of me, showed up at the offices and got, you know, begged me for a job. That guy right there, he's the one responsible. There is an art to it. And it is really the best people that just lay into you and you remember it forever. Are the ones that maybe they don't need to cuss, and it doesn't even need to be directed at you. It is when they just sit there and they just have something that is so knifing that you go, oh, that hurts. Like when somebody yells at you and MFs you and tells you how dumb you are, you know, like one of the ones I got was, are you dumb or are you just this stupid? And I was like, there's no answer that saves me here. Like, I'm either dumb or stupid. And
I've gone down that exact path, but I answered the question. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You just, if you get MF'd, like you could just water off my back.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody gives you the, this is my fault for hiring that guy, that digs deep. That digs deep. That one cuts you. Really, that's really
like,
deep.
That's like the old line from your parents. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, you just unlocked a core memory from a lieutenant who I held in very high regard. And he kind of did that to me. I got an assignment to do research on something. It was pretty serious, and I screwed it up. It was my first real big thing overseas.
Yeah.
And I just didn't do it as well as I should have. And it was in front of a room full of colonels, one stars, two stars, and it wasn't a dressing down. It was very much a similar, like, I apologize, I take full responsibility, but also it's his fault.
Yeah, and he's like,
and he dropped it on me, and I remember feeling, oh God,
yep,
I'm dead.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's worse. It's worse than getting reamed out. Like that was always I loved my high school coach, Craig Rooker, who was a longtime coach in the area, but he had a way of just making you feel like you're about 2 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our back and forths that we would always have is every in film, he would just rewind, stop, mm-hmm. rewind,
mm-hmm.
stop, rewind. He wouldn't say a word.
Because everybody knew what was going on.
We went about 8 weeks in a row where it was like, I would do something new. But he would always say, if you ever do that again, you will never play it down for me. And it was all celebration related. And it wasn't that bad. Like, I wasn't showing anybody up. It was just the way he was. And he would sit there and he would just fold his arms and he'd just give you that finger,
the curl finger,
yep. Get over here. And I've never seen so many people with their tail between their mm-hmm. legs walk up to it. And he's not a tall guy. Mm-hmm. He's like 5'7", 5'8". And you would just sit there and it would just be like, this is worse than anything my parents could have ever mm-hmm. told me. And it wasn't. He never yelled at you. Mm-hmm. He never swore. It was just like, I feel, as Lanning said, about 2 inches tall. Yeah. You just feel 2 inches tall the entire time, and you're like, sorry.
Yeah. And that little gesture right there is the coaching equivalent of your parents calling you by your first and middle name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just the one finger, get over here, and it's like, oh. I'm done.
You know it's coming.
This is not going to be good. I'm running.
I was just to say.
I know it.
I got to the point where how many was my response that Craig Schimmel is not a candy. He would do that same thing, and it would just look at him. I go, how many? And he said, and his line, I'm sure you've heard it too, till I get tired. And I was like, you're not
there.
Running.
Yeah.
He goes, uh-huh.
Oh, man. I love that.
Not much gets past you, huh?
There's an art to it.
It is.
There is an art
It's a level of red assery that is compiled over years.
It truly is.
It's developed, honed.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm sure Lanning now has.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like he was always the old soul that always had a little bit of that in him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good place to be.
Shows it's very apparent during games when you see him on the sideline, just that look where it's just like, you gotta be kidding me, man.
So it goes.
Cut you deep.
Speaking of cutting deep, somebody's pockets might be cut deep as Nikola Jokic was giving Anthony Davis the business on the court. His brother was giving a Laker fan the business off the court. And alleged assault took place. It's not alleged. But we'll get into that and more coming up here on the Worst Day of the Week. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with a Sports Center update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
This is Draft Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness.
On 1080 The Fan. It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks.
You know, when you're in the media business, you have to be judicious and careful with your words when you're talking about legality. You can get hit with all kinds of things, defamation, slander, very difficult to prove. But you don't want to get tied, wrapped up in that. But if I see one more media outlet say Jokic's brother allegedly hit a fan, I'm going to lose my collective crap because there's like 10 different angles of Jokic's brother socking a Lakers fan in the face at the end of last night's game.
Now, we might be able to say, well, we don't know. We don't know because we don't really see his face, but you see a 7-foot giant
wearing a Jokic jersey.
Wearing a Jokic jersey with tats that go up his back and on his neck
that match his brother's.
Very similar.
You might even say identical.
A dead ringer for it. And it just so happens it's in Denver and it appears to be a Laker fan that he's getting into a verbal altercation with.
Oh, weird.
And then, yeah, shocker. And then you just see this gigantic arm come down in rather quickly, nice little just rabbit punch jab. Didn't hit him hard. Let him know that he was there. The thing about this is, first of all, what in the world was this Laker fan doing to get the Jokic brothers all that riled up? Are now, they just like this?
Yes, yes, they're like this. I think it was Strahinja who was the one who punched him. Yes, it was. And I want to make sure I do get this right. One of the brothers has a violent past.
Oh, okay.
So, not surprised. Like, remember Nikola Pekovic?
Weird, a 7-foot Serbian?
Yeah, no, it's just, that's the path I was going to go down. Remember Nikola Pekovic looked like a Serbian mob boss?
Was that the guy that looked like Zod?
Timberwolves, yes. Massive, massive human, looked like a mob boss.
Yeah.
This should also be noted that the other guy who's standing right next to this guy, who may or may not be Nikola Jokic's brother, also is near 7 feet tall and also looks like Nikola Jokic's other brother. So we got both guys who... It would be a very odd coincidence if this was going on. Continue?
Yeah, it was Strahinja who was involved in assault for choking and pushing a woman.
That's assault, brother.
Yeah, so not the first time that this has been publicly captured. But I was just saying about Pekovic looking like a mob boss. Turns out he actually was a mob boss.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So what was that movie? I don't mess with two people. It was
Bring It On.
Polynesians and mother bleeping Serbians. It's like, yeah, it's two groups of people you just don't want to mess with. They have the Balkans, the war-torn regions have a way of making some people.
Now the NBA is investigating it,
and the Denver police.
The Denver police are investigating it,
and it's on video everywhere.
But.
So.
What, okay, do they treat Jokic's brother like they do other fans? Because if anybody else does that, they get
Oh, the game was
banned.
Over, so they're probably...
They get banned from the arena, though. Yeah. That's what happens when you get into a fight at a stadium.
Yeah.
Is that...
Well, it's not entirely true.
You get yourself booted.
I had a guy swing at me, I swung back, and I won a pair of Jordans.
What?
Have I never told you this story?
No.
What? I'm going to derail real quick. I was home on leave for a Blazers-Lakers game that me and my dad went to, and there was a drunk Laker fan in front of us that was driving everybody crazy. And this is 2000. Larry Miller was in charge, so 2006, 2007, okay. Right around that time. And I was like, man, look, you want to cheer for the Lakers, go ahead. Just, hey, stop F-bombing everybody around here kind of a deal. Like, calm down. We all have season tickets here. Kind of a deal. Like, hey, knock it off. And he said, I bought these tickets. Don't you bleep and tell me what to do. And he swung on me.
Pucker up, buttercup.
Well, he missed. I swung and I knocked him over a row of chairs and it turned into a whole kerfuffle. Security comes in. This is in the first quarter. This guy's hammered. Hammered. Security comes. They walk us all out. You know, I hit a guy. So instantly security's like, you know, this guy's got to go. Everybody's like, no, he literally was just defending himself. This whole thing. Finally, we get through halftime and into the third quarter before we finally figure it all out. He gets thrown out. I go back to my seat. They're like, hey, you know, sorry about all this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, all right, well, at least I didn't get thrown out, you know, kind of a deal. The next time out, Larry Miller comes over with the camera crew. I was the Jordan Brand fan of the night, and I won a pair of Jordans.
Sure, Jan.
My dad just looked at me and went, you've got to be kidding me. I don't know if I got that as a way to make up for it.
Well, now here's the deal too. Does that happen if it's not a Laker fan?
That's the thing. Yeah. That's my dad always like, he's like, you won those Jordans because you knocked out a Laker fan.
Like if
you
this
know.
Is just a Tuesday night against the Charlotte Hornets. Is that happening?
But yeah. So you can punch somebody at a game and not be thrown out of the arena. In fact, you can be rewarded. And now the Jokic brother did punch a Laker fan, so perhaps they give him a pair of shoes.
Like, I've been telling you for over a year, I can't take you anywhere. Your dad is in that same boat. Just like, I cannot take you anywhere. My own son.
Yeah. He was like, right. they brought him out there to talk to him, and he was like, no.
Big difference here is that this Laker fan was running his mouth, not expecting the right hand to be coming down.
The right hand of God coming down from a 6'10" Serbian.
The incredible part is that Jokic's brother is like he might be two rows away from this guy. And his arm just comes down and just like, boop, right in the face. His arms are enormous.
I mean, he's a massive human.
They are so long just to think of that reach. And this is where I saw a lot of the commentary on the internet was, this is what happens when people on the internet go face to face with other humans.
It's true. And also those two are absolutely, look, this is not the first time Nuggets fan has been, or a Nuggets adjacent fan has been punched in the face here. Because remember, you had the Phoenix fan in Denver that Suns in four. Absolutely whooped his ass.
Yeah, he did. Suns in four. And he got courtside seats to his Suns game.
Moved on down.
Can't go to Ball Arena anymore, but so he can go.
But there's another guy who got rewarded for whooping a fan.
Oh, boy.
Sometimes, God, am I siding with the lunatic Serbians here, and sometimes people need to get hit?
I think you are.
I mean, I am a staunch believer in when people say violence solves nothing, that those people are wrong. In fact, it solves everything.
I forgot about our guy.
How could you forget about him?
Yeah. I mean, he may have been one of the first deep dives. I mean, in our, we have like a hierarchy of now, we have Gary Suter.
Wow.
Tata and Farewell Guy. I've already forgotten his name, but we did the deep dive.
Chinese meal.
My succulent Chinese meal.
Yeah, we just like to call him Democracy Manifest.
Yes.
Yeah. But the deep dive on him was like, he was like an actor and an artist.
Yes, Couldn't tell by the way he talked at all, could you?
Who does paintings of that scene and sells them to other folks now.
And you, sir, are you waiting to receive my limp penis?
It's just so good.
Of course, you play that one.
They need to take this drop board away from
me. No, that is, to come up with that line in the moment, that is just, that's pure majesty.
Yeah.
To look a cop in the face and ask him if he's ready to receive his limp penis.
Just a tip.
Yeah. Is truly like, that's.
Y'all pray for it.
That's the mark of a true actor right there. That is the kind of ad-libbing I'm here for.
Oh, we got a double fire.
Truly great stuff. But yeah, the reporting around this is absolutely hilarious, as the Jokic brother who threw the punch allegedly punched a fan.
And look, we don't know all the facts. There could be two other ginormous human beings.
Credit
that
to the fan.
Similar. He took that
he
punch.
He took that punch and looked at him like, what?
May I push back on that he got punched, and then it looks like what happened was,
he doesn't know what dimension he's in?
He went and like the railing behind him boosted him back forward. Because there was a railing.
Oh, we had a punching clown situation?
Yeah, there was a railing, it looks like, behind him. And it looks like he may have bounced off the railing and was like, boing, right back up. So that may be what's at play here. I want to know the facts of this. I want to know what was said here. I want to know if we have a Jokic brother stuffed and cuffed in Denver.
Well, remember, the Jokic brothers were going to kill the Morris twins for the cheap shot. Of which Nikola Jokic got back at him with an even worse cheap shot and actually caused damage to Morris's back.
Could we have a situation where there are more, like, brothers going to jail on the Nuggets than playoff wins at any point?
For the Lakers?
No, for the Nuggets. Because Michael Porter Jr.'s...
Oh, God.
Jonte Porter may... Like, that's not...
Yeah, it's not done yet. Yeah.
Like, he may go to... He may.
I think you'd have to do it in losses.
Okay.
What's more, brothers of players in jail, or Nuggets
losses?
Yeah,
it's not good right now.
No,
like the orbit around.
I think I'm gonna take the brothers.
But I said this yesterday. Michael Porter Jr. performing the way he is with everything that's going on around him, with one brother going to prison
for 6 years for vehicular manslaughter and a DUI.
His other brother is entangled in a betting scandal that got him banned from the NBA,
and
very easily could there could be legal ramifications. The way that he has been able to kind of compartmentalize everything and perform the way he has, it really is impressive, man. Because we all have things that go on in our lives, and think about how it affects your day-to-day and the things that you do. I don't know how Michael Porter Jr. is doing this with everything that's going on around him.
Well, there is the possibility he's just too dumb to realize.
Ouch. I mean, geez.
Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah.
It's out there.
Hurt my feelings.
Yeah. I don't. I want to know what the Laker fans.
Sometimes
said.
It's healthy.
To have the escape and get away? Absolutely.
No, to just be too dumb to know.
Yeah. Oh. That too. Yeah. That too.
Just be dumb and unaware, man. Just blissfully unaware. That's how it goes. All right, coming up, I have heard maybe the best worst description of Caleb Williams or a quarterback prospect, I mean, any prospect ever. And we'll dive into that here, coming up here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Art Alakakis.
I am still living with your ghost.
This is Draft Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness.
On 1080 The Fan.
I don't want to be your dad.
The best worst thing about the NFL draft is all of the behind the scenes takes, thoughts, comparisons, because nobody really knows anything.
Nothing.
But you get opportunities like this where Pablo Torre finds out. He brings on at FlemFile, David Fleming, author. He works for Metalark Media, which is the Dan Lebertard show and Pablo Torre's group. And he said that he, an NFL scout, gave him a comp and or comparison for Caleb Williams. And it is the most insane, unhinged, wonderful thing I have heard for a comp, maybe ever.
And I reached out to a guy who's really well-connected, a former scout, really well-connected across the NFL with GMs and front offices, and I was blown away by his reaction.
What did the scout tell you that you can report?
I hated it. Hated it. He would scare the shit out of me if I was working for a team. Raw emotion is great, but Caleb's thing? That was ridiculous to me. That threw up major red flags. You just lost a game in the middle of your f***ing season, and it was like your third loss in the Pac-12, and you went hugging on mommy and crying in mommy's arms, and it just seems really freaking weak and nuts. And I will tell you, he scares the shit out of a lot of NFL teams, too. The book on him is he's just kind of a weird kid. One GM told me it's like if Prince played quarterback.
So now we've gone from body language Olympics to he's too emotional, and now it's if Prince played quarterback, which you're talking about one of the greatest musicians of all time playing quarterback.
No, I which think all I can think about of is the personality, just like game
blouses. Yes, and yes, Caleb Williams, he is a little weird.
He's a lot weird.
He is eccentric.
Yeah,
but guess what? Hey guys, what's Aaron Rodgers doing right now?
Yeah,
Tom Brady, TB12, eating weird foods and not in alkaline water. Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited. Let's run down the list of bat-ass crazy weird quarterbacks.
Okay,
they all are.
The one okay, with two of those guys though, their sickness is with just like trying to be the best athlete that they can be. Like Brady and Wilson, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is insufferable at times. Mm-hmm. Let's be great. But one thing that is undeniable is that he is just like maniacal with his performance and body type stuff, right?
Caleb
Brady,
is too.
Brady was the same thing. Brady, every guy though that like Brady played with said, to a man, he's a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers, same thing.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is like, he is a weirdo.
Yeah.
But his teammates, like, when
they all ride for him
on the practice field and during game time, it's because he's so damn good. Mm-hmm. But they separate themselves when you leave the facility. Just like Aaron's family did.
Wow.
That's not wrong. But when you talk about Caleb Williams, Like, we talked to him twice at Pac-12 Media Day, and he was like, yeah, I just go home and just game.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I do. And for NFL guys, this is the reality of what Fleming, even though it is pretty asinine to just be like, okay, that's going to scare you off. That's how they think,
mm-hmm.
is that
they're trying to find anything wrong.
Well,
at this point,
the emotional mm-hmm. person being emotional is the worst thing you can be in a locker room to some people. Like that is, you cannot have emotions take over. If they have an emotion, it's anger. Anger is okay. Anything else is not. And really, Caleb Williams is like the first, I guess you could go to last year too, in last year's draft class, of being like these first guys that they're the TikTok kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're the social media kids. They're the internet gamer kids that are growing up, and like that's their life that they're coming into. And now they get to the NFL. It was only a matter of time until we had a quarterback who, you know, will paint his nails, do nothing but be a gamer. The crying to his mom thing,
mm-hmm.
when that happened, it was like, there's going to be people in the NFL that absolutely hate this.
Yeah, you and I talked about that when it happened off air.
They will hate it.
I 100%. I just didn't care. It wasn't because it's my guy or because he's at SC. It just didn't care. Like, it just... Maybe because of being around it now, like
they want you want your guy to be a robot,
cold, emotionless, because those are the things you can control. When you can control those variables, you know that's how that works.
Like, and as we talk about all those guys that you mentioned, right? We have like Aaron Rodgers.
Relax.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What's the criticism of Russell Wilson? He's a robot.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
He's not real.
The emotion that Brady always had was he was always pissed off. Yeah. And those are all things that the old school thinking, old school mm-hmm. football guy is like, that's what we want. We want a robot. We want a guy who's just never going to panic and never going to react in a way that we feel will hurt the other guys around us. And anger doesn't do that. I'm pretty sure science will tell you anger does.
Sure.
Anger does affect a lot of people around you mm-hmm. in a negative way.
Some
but
people do,
in the
some
world
react,
of football, it is
normal.
Normalcy.
Again, I don't ever compare anything to wartime or anything like that, but that's one of the things when you do talk about the comparisons of football and the physicality is that the locker room and how things go about are similar to the barracks. There's similarities you can draw to the raw anger, the... outward physicality, like those, the things that they call toxic masculinity, which shut up. But those things that can be harnessed. But it's also interesting when you're talking about Caleb Williams, the Chicago Bears, instead of having their executives meet with him, had him go out with DJ Moore and Cole Kmet and go like be with the boys
to see if he can be a dude.
Yeah.
Because that was when we heard those rumblings at the end of USC season that, like, teammates were like, he's not a leader. Like, he just is our best player.
He was at USC preparing to be an NFL quarterback. Yeah. That's what he was doing.
And that, like, at that point, you sit there, and I like what the Bears did. Send him out with the leaders of the team to see how they get along with them. And there's no doubt he will get along with those guys, especially in the first
season.
Meeting with them, right? Like everything is going to be okay. I think that line of thinking by NFL GMs and that scout, I don't doubt that scout heard those things from executives mm-hmm. and like those are his thoughts because that's the way a lot of those guys they do think. But here's the other thing that those guys that are stuck in that mentality fail to realize is that
he's not the only one.
Every other guy on that roster outside of like the, you know, late 20s, early 30s guys on the roster, which are a lot.
Mm-hmm.
All of those guys grew up the same way.
They relate more to him. Like, not only is Caleb Williams, you know, a different cat. Have you heard Marvin Harrison talk? Marvin Harrison Jr. talk?
Yep, Marvin Harrison
That's Jr. a different cat.
He walks to the beat of his own drum.
And and again, coming full circle, when you're talking about wide receivers, there's a reason why I lean towards Roma Dunze.
Yeah. Just be a dude.
Just
be a dude.
And I'm kind of even siding with a little bit of that with that GM here.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, but also I look at Caleb and go, the weird translated.
Yeah. But I don't know. You watch quarterbacks on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes is a weird dude too.
Yes. They're all...
He sounds like Kermit the Frog. But you know what? If you play well and you can relate to guys, even on the surface level, what you need to do is inside that facility on Sundays, that's the most important thing. If you can get through that and he doesn't alienate his teammates, that is exactly where you need to thrive, being the quarterback. And having a guy that can galvanize everybody outside of the locker room and outside the team facility, that is the cherry on top, and that will be the next step in his growth. But everything about Caleb Williams to this point has been manufacturing an NFL quarterback. That's like his dad's number one goal. It is like the successful version of Todd Marinovich.
Yes, without the overbearing assaulting father.
Yeah, he just hired other people to be, you know, his trainers.
Indeed. Super helpful. Speaking of the NFL draft, we are now just over 51 hours away from the NFL draft, and we will pivot to that here in hour number three here on Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.